FM, W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM, W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Polls are opening right now in Michigan, where voters are casting ballots in the last presidential primary election before Super Tuesday. While Donald Trump is expected to cruise to victory over Nikki Haley on the Republican side, President Biden may not get as much support as he expected among Democrats. Muslim American leaders are urging residents like this one to vote uncommitted over the way Mr. Biden's responded to the war in Gaza.
The whole world demonstrated and demanded for this war to stop. He does have this power.
The president told NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers Israel would be willing to pause the war during the Holy Month if a deal is reached to release some hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners.
Ramadan's coming up, and there's been an agreement by the Israelis that they would not engage in activities during Ramadan as well, in order to give us time to get all the hostages out.
Israeli officials say those comments came as a surprise and were not made in coordination with the country's leadership. A Hamas official says the group will not soften its demands. President Biden will host congressional leaders at the White House today to try to reach a deal to avoid a partial government shutdown. Correspondent Scott McFarlane reports from Washington.
The deadline is pressing. March 1st, this Friday, one quarter of the federal government shuts down if there's no deal. Then the next Friday, March 8th, the other three quarters, including the Pentagon, suffer shutdowns.
Also on the agenda today, an aid package for Ukraine and border security. Both the president and Donald Trump have visits scheduled to separate spots in South Texas Thursday. Texas police have released disturbing body cam video of the woman who entered Joel Osteen's megachurch with her 7-year-old son 2 weeks ago and opened fire. She was shot dead.
I need a medic. I have one young male conscious and breathing. He got shot in the head.
The little boy is still in critical condition. It's not clear who shot him. Scientists say rough ice is teaching them lessons about our warming Earth.
Bumps in Antarctica's ice sheet indicate places where its glaciers are held in place. Half a century ago, few showed any change. But since the year 2000, more than a third have shrunk. And that shows that the melting of the South Pole's glaciers is speeding up. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
A photographer in Australia says Taylor Swift's father slugged him in the face on the Sydney waterfront after he and the pop star came ashore from a yacht. A Swift rep claims he was pushing his way toward her, police not naming names, but they do say they're investigating an incident. Paparazzo says he suffered a punch in the chops, but he's okay. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagihau. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Early ballots in Wisconsin won't be counted until Election Day this fall. State Senator Dan Knodel tells WYSN-TV's Upfront that he has no plans to bring the so-called Monday processing bill before the Senate Elections Committee this spring. The bill would let election workers start counting early ballots the day before Election Day. It recently passed the Assembly with broad bipartisan support. A new report says only 1 in 3 people with commercial health insurance can find proper mental health care. Stanford psychiatrist Benjamin Miller says the American system treats mental health as less important.
And when you're in a crisis, will you or your loved one need get the help that they need? You have to work harder to get that help. It's almost like the cruelest irony in healthcare.
The report was released by the mental health advocacy group Inseparable. I'm Nate Wagihau, Civic Media News.
Badgers take on Indiana. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, Wisconsin on the road against the Indiana Hoosiers. The Badgers trying to climb back into the AP Top 25. Marquette's now ranked 5th in the nation after their wins over DePaul and Xavier. In the Big Ten, the Badgers' Greg Gard says any team can be dangerous right now.
I mean, just look at Ohio State, you know, was left for dead 2 weeks ago, and now they beat Purdue and Michigan State in the span of a week. So the parity, as I keep saying, and is pretty evident, not only, you know, in our league, but across the country.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Reds 8-3 yesterday in Arizona. Tomorrow they'll face the Cubs and Craig Counsell. So many new players on the Brewers roster, but Christian Yelich says,
I definitely think we're going to be a competitive team this year. You know, even when we've been good the last few years, like, no one ever picks us to be good, you know, just because, you know, we're the Brewers and it is what it is.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny this morning with clouds and a little light rain by late this afternoon. Our high today 70 by early afternoon with temps falling into the 50s by late this afternoon. The wind southwest at around 15 to 20. Tonight, some light rain and then some light snow, 23. Tomorrow, light snow early, then sunshine, high of 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Tuesday on Matt Nair on Air, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us to explain the difference between charitable groups and political donation groups. Make sure you join us.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go,
This is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Every mother talks the same. You ever notice they have these little momisms? They just pass them down through generations. You've heard them all. We've all heard the same stuff growing up. Stuff like, if I had to come up there. You all heard that. Unless you lived in a mobile home, you heard that one. Then I get those punishment momisms. You all had those, right? How would you like a beating? Oh, gee, I'd love a beating right now. Man. That or the ball game? I can't decide. Then she'd get lazy. Go get me something to beat you with. Like, I'm going to come back with a 2x4 with nails in it. I brought her a sponge. Here you go, my whale away. Ouch, you're hurting me. I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Make it Thursday, I got a test on Wednesday.
WRJN. Good morning. I'm Don Rosen. This is WRJN historical marker number 4. And Paul Kern is going to be our historical marker today. A little intro to why I'm even doing this is because I went to a funeral a couple of months ago to a good friend of mine. He was the program director of WEZW in Milwaukee. That was 103.7 in Milwaukee. There for 20 years. And before that, he worked at other stations around the state. And he passed away, and his wife said to me, do you have any recordings of Bill? It was Bill Moose was his name. I said, do you have any recordings of Bill? And I said, no, I don't, but I'll check the internet. And there were some recordings of the station online at the internet, but nothing of him. I said, don't you have any? She goes, no, I don't have any. So here's a guy that was on the air for 30 years plus, and there's no record of him ever being on the radio. And I was sitting there at the funeral. I had to talk at the funeral. And then I thought when I sat down, I don't want that to happen here, this radio station. Because I was here for a number of years, so I know a little bit about some of the people who worked here. And so I started a series called the WRJN Historical Marker Series. These are going to be archived at the Racine Public Library and also put in the museum at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. So years from now, when we're all gone, and we're going to be gone, people go and they leave and they pass away, they'll be able to hear what some of the lives were of the people who worked here. And we've got a number of people so far. And number 4 on the list is Paul Kern. And thank you for doing it, Paul. I do appreciate it, my friend.
Well, good morning to you. How are you?
Fine. This used to be your seat.
Exactly. Yeah, 5:30 in the morning until 9.
Yeah, Monday through Friday. How long were you here for?
I was here for a little over 6 years. I came there in 2005, in the summer of 2005, and retired. I think when I turned in my resignation, I think I turned it in like somewhere right around Labor Day of 2011. And you asked me when I wanted my last day to be, and I says the day before Thanksgiving. So I gave you like 3 months to find somebody to fill in, which I think you found in about 20 minutes. You know?
There's always somebody waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Now, before we take a little bit of a history of you before WRJN, because this wasn't your first rodeo here.
No.
I'll tell you an interesting story how we hired Paul. We met you at a diner. I was there with our general manager, and we met you at a diner. And we were talking about having you come on board to WRJN. You were, I think, at WLIP at the time, no?
Correct.
Okay. What I didn't know was, and when you hire people in radio, you don't want the staff to know about it immediately because they get nervous. Uh-oh, somebody new's coming in. Uh-oh, you know, watch your jobs. Little did I know that one of our employees, Tom Kramer, was sitting at a table, and this was in Kenosha we met you. He was sitting at a table about 2-3 tables away, listening in.
Was it at the Dynasty over on Lathrop?
Oh, was it at Dynasty? I'm sorry.
Where it was. Yeah, I think that's where we sat down to talk.
Well, Tom Kramer was sitting there. And after we spoke to you, I got up and he said, "Are you hiring that guy?" And I said, maybe. And so that's where I first met you. But let's talk a little bit way before that.
Well, I just wanted to add something to what you were saying there about the fact that when somebody new would come in, people would say, "What's happening?" Because when I first got into it, it was really, really cutthroat. The top 40 stations were, particularly WRIT and WOKY in Milwaukee. And they bring in a new guy in the morning. The morning guy would get off the air and he'd get fired. Midday guy would get off the air, he'd get fired. Afternoon guy would get off the air and get fired. And then the evening guy would get off the air, and it was pretty much by that point, it was, okay, it's your turn, you too, you know. It was, and then, you know, what they would all do is they'd go across the street to the other station until that happened again, then they'd come back to the one that they'd worked at before. So they were really never out of work or anything like that, but, I mean, it was just really kind of goofy the way they would and they did that in Chicago, too, to some degree, at WLS and WCFL back in those days. This would be in the late 60s, early 70s when I first got into it.
Yeah. I remember the firings. The whole staff would get fired.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They'd wipe everything clean. They'd bring someone in to do the dirty work. And then, after the dirty work was done, they'd fire that person.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a horrible business back then. It's a little not so bad now. It's not quite like that now. So where are you from originally? Where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, April 9th, 1951.
Okay, so you're older than I am.
Yeah.
My elder.
I've always been older than you.
Yeah, but not by much, not by much. Yeah. So you were born in Chicago. You went to school in Chicago. When did you move to Wisconsin?
And when I was 10, my father's job got transferred from Chicago to Milwaukee, and so we moved up to Wisconsin, and it was a big culture shock for me because, you know, we lived in the city, maybe about 2 miles west of Wrigley Field, you know, so I mean, it was really city. And we moved to Oak Creek, which at that time was like pretty much farmland, and there were 6 houses in our neighborhood, and that was it. It really was quite a culture shock for me to go to something like that, you know, where you had to go 10 miles to go to the store or anything like that. So, we moved when I was 10, and I grew up pretty much in Oak Creek then, and went to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and there, because I knew what I wanted to do at the age of 16. I was a pretty good baseball player. But I had trouble with the curve, and I just wasn't that fast a runner as they needed back in those days. So I had heard a disc jockey in Chicago by the name of Joel Sebastian. You may remember him.
Yeah, I do. I do remember that name, yeah.
The guy had the most incredible voice in the world to me. And when I heard his program, I said, that's what I want to do. So when I got out of high school, I went to University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and I loaded up on all the speech courses and things like that. And in my second semester there, I met a guy in the class. Argumentation and Debate was the name of the class. Gail Klappa, who now, I don't know, perhaps he's retired now, but he was, last I knew, heading up We Energies. But he, at that time, was working his way through college doing news part-time at WOKY. And, you know, he got me started at the campus radio station on the university, at the university. And I worked my way there until I, summer of 1970 was really kind of neat for me because there was like nobody at the campus radio station during the day. And I could lock myself up in the studio and teach myself how to do things, how to make echo, how to introduce a record, how to do this and that. And finally, there was a program that WRIT did in their public service stuff where they let the kids from UWM record a half-hour program each Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. And I got to do that, and that's where I met Bob Collins, who was the program director at that time, the late Bob Collins.
Yeah.
And just worked my way up until and then they had the campus, you know, protests and everything in the early 70s there. And they hired me to be the campus reporter. And it was kind of neat because I got $2 per story. They had no idea what they were in for. Here I was sending them 15 to 20 stories a day. You know, they didn't all make it on the air, but I was still doing that. And finally, they had an opening for a part-time newscaster, and that's where I started. And the rest was history from there. I worked myself up to become a show host, and 42 years later, retired from WRJN.
So what we're going to get a little bit of that history. The campus radio station, was it over the air or was it one of those carrier currents?
It's over the air. Still is. WUWM.
Oh, that's where you worked. Okay, WUWM. That's a biggie.
They broadcast now out of the building that used to be a big blue bank building on Wisconsin Avenue.
Yeah. What was your first commercial job?
WRIT.
Oh, it was RIT, okay.
The original RIT, yeah, that was 1340 on the AM
right.
dial.
That was a powerhouse. Between that and WOKY, this is before FM was really big. People are saying, well, those are AM stations. But AM really ruled the airwaves back then in almost every city. Yeah, FMs were also, because a lot of people didn't have FMs in their cars back then.
A lot of big names came through there. Of course, Bob Collins, who went on to host the morning show at WGN for many years before he passed away in that plane crash.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now I can't think of his name. Wouldn't you know it? He went on to establish MTV. And wouldn't you know it?
Not J.J. Jackson. No, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either. That's what happens when you're born in the 50s. You stop thinking. Yeah. You can't think of anything anymore.
Brain cramps at this age. You know,
I'll
probably think of it at 3 o'clock in the morning tonight.
Well, give a call. You got my phone number. I had Bob Barry on the air with me 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
And he worked it out.
I followed Bob on the air. He did mornings. I did middays at WOKY. And got to know him quite well.
So you worked at WOKY what years?
I was there 1979 through, I believe, 84, maybe. I was there for 5 years, I think.
You know, just about everybody.
I was the only one who made the change from rock and roll to big band music.
Oh, the music of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Steve York didn't last too long there, neither did Bob Barry.
You know, everybody I know in radio, including myself, worked at WOKY at one time or another. Chris Morrow, who's the vice president of Civic Media, he worked at WOKY. I worked at WOKY. Everybody I know worked at WOKY. Hold on, Paul. Paul Kern, my guest, is the fourth WRJN historical marker. Having some fun talking with Paul, former morning personality right here at WRJN Radio. Stay where you are.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Milwaukee that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 262-970-5777 and press 0 to apply. That's 262-970-5777 and press 0.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
WRJN historical marker number 4, Paul Kern. I've reduced you to an historical marker. That's what your life came
to. I never thought it'd be a historical marker. Hysterical marker, maybe, but not historical. Bob Pittman, that was the name of the guy who there's just a lot of guys who went on to do more things. He was the one who, I believe, invented MTV.
Yes. He worked for NBC too, NBC Radio for a long time.
Yeah, programmed Pittman. Up to NBC in New York.
Yeah. So where did he work, Bob Pittman?
He did Summer Swing in the summer of 1972. That means he filled in for whoever went on vacation.
That was at what station?
I was a newscaster at that time, and I would do the news on his program quite often. You know, and you could he was such a radio junkie. He could tell you where every jock you never heard of worked in the country somewhere. You know.
So, which station was it? RIT or OKY?
That was RIT. That WRIT.
Okay. And by the way, this is not the same WRIT that's in Milwaukee right now.
Right. Exactly. This was 1340 on the AM dial.
Yeah, this is a different one. They just took the call letters and put it on an FM station now.
But that was very smart for them to do.
Okay, so you went
to... And they were playing oldies, you know.
Right, they bring back the memories. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're at WRIT, you go to WOKY. What happens then?
There was a couple other things in between there. There was... we went out to work in Waukesha at WAUK because they wanted to create a... an adult contemporary station out there, and we stayed for about 6 months and then left. Then I went to WRKR in Racine for 3 years. And then I went to WLIP for the first time for about 6 months, and then to WOKY in 1979.
You know, let me back up a little bit here. So you went to WAUK. That's not the same WAUK today. That WAUK... was 1510 on the dial you went to, right?
1510 on the AM dial, correct.
Yeah, this one now is 540, and we own it. Civic Media owns WAUK 540. So okay. The call letters move around a lot. And so do the disc jockeys, obviously. Mm-hmm. radio is the only business where getting fired from a job is never held against you for some reason.
Not only that, if you don't get fired at least once, it's like nobody cares about you, you know? I mean, you got to have that to get any respect.
Well, this is interesting. I want to share this with you. I was only fired from one job in my entire life, and it was here. Dave Magnum fired me when he bought WRJN. That was the only job I was ever fired from. Everything else, I quit. I didn't quit. Yeah, I only quit one station in anger in my entire life. The rest, you know, I just, you know. Left, you know, better things came along and so forth. Okay, so let's back up a little bit here. So you went to a bunch of stations in between. I didn't know that 1510 was an adult contemporary station. Because
they tried to make it that, and we were there for 3 months, and the owner
Okay, let's put it this way. On the weekends, I would be spinning records in clubs and things like that. And I was in a club checking on the New Year's Eve gig, and we got a call at the club. There was the owner of the radio station, WAUK, firing all of us. There we go again. This was like in 1975. And that was the second time I got fired that year. Also got fired at RIT. And when they wanted to change formats. And so I put down the phone, and I was in the manager's office, and I said, doggone it, I just got fired again. He says, oh. He says, you want to do 5 nights a week down here at the club? And I said, how much? Turned out I was going to make more money at the club than I was on the air anyway, so it worked out quite well for me. I was out of work for about 5 minutes.
There's an old joke in radio when I first got started. You better have a good U-Haul. Because you're going to need it. Because now you need.
Was don't buy a house.
Well, you were lucky. You stayed in the same area. A lot of people, including myself, went from Long Island to Atlanta to Milwaukee. I just moved around a lot.
Most of the guys do. I was very fortunate in that I always was able to pick up a job around here.
One day I'm going to have Chris Morrow on with the Historical Marker. You've got to hear his stories.
We worked together at RKR. In fact, the night that his child was born, I happened to be in the station doing some extra stuff that I was working on. And he came in because he was on like from, I think, maybe 10 in the evening. Oh, no, he was on overnights at that time. He comes in, and he hadn't even sat down to start the show yet, and he got a call that the birth was imminent. So he took off, and I did his show that night, overnight. I just sat down and did it. While he was off, he called me like 6 in the morning, said, I believe it was a girl, a little baby girl that they'd had. And so Chris and I got to know each other quite well there, and we worked together at the jazz station in Milwaukee. I can't think of the call letters.
It was from Menomonee Falls.
WJZI, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then we worked again when he came in as general manager there at RJN. And it seemed like whenever I'd work with Chris, I wasn't there much longer. You know, I left RKR. I left Easy JZI and left RJN there. I got different offers, or in case of RJN, I retired. But Chris is a great guy. In fact, my wife and I and a friend, we went out to look at the Christmas lights at that big facility that's out in western Waukesha County there. It's right off the I. Are you familiar with it? They got a big water park there and everything.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I forget the name of the place. But anyway, we went out there, and when you go in, they'll drive through the lights and everything. You put your radio on a certain station, and you get to hear Christmas music. So we had that on, and all of a sudden, here comes this voice with a little commercial telling you what you're seeing and everything. And I said, hey, that's Chris Morrow. You know, so Chris, he's doing a lot of different things. When you do talk to him again, make sure you tell him I said hi.
No, I will. I will. You know, he's got great stories to tell. He had me in hysterics. He worked out. He's one of these people that traveled America in his early disc jockey days. And he worked out at stations in Nebraska and across the country. I was hysterical listening to his stories. Now, some of them he can't tell on the air.
But, no, none of you can tell.
But he has me in hysterics of some of these people he used to work with. And I love hearing these stories. I didn't realize you worked at WJZI and all these stations in Milwaukee. This is brand new to me. See, this is why we've got to do these historical marker shows, to find out about the people, because I didn't know any of this stuff about you. I thought you just went from Kenosha LIP to WRJN, and that was it.
Oh, we were all over the place. You know, a matter of fact, you guys, and I don't know if you still have this in the control room or not, but you had a setup when I worked there where you could put a CD in, a clean CD, and set it, you know, play and record. And every time you open the microphone is when it it would record. And so I've got dozens and dozens of my programs, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad of that, because otherwise, you know, everything else was on tape, and after a while, tape goes bad, and you can't listen to it.
Hold on, Paul. Don't move. We've got a quick break here. 729 okay. WRJN Radio.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Farm organizations in the state and producers themselves sounding the alarm, working to protect themselves from ordinances being developed in other states. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Tuesday. The Protect Our Farms Act is being advanced at the state capitol now, supported by farm organizations like the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and producers alike. It would stop local governments from implementing stricter rules than the state imposes on animal welfare. Jason Mungnaini is the Executive Director of Government Relations with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation.
So one of the things that we really want to make sure that we do here in the state of Wisconsin is that if we're going to have a conversation about animal standards, we should have that at the state level. Consistency is the name of the game so that Wisconsin can have that competitive advantage. Those types of ordinances are really the things that are standing in the way in a lot of circumstances, from the growth of an operation, the solvency of an operation, and really are not there to actually improve anything for livestock.
Jason Mungnaini, Executive Director of Government Affairs for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. He points to California's Prop 12 as the major motivation behind Wisconsin's Protect Our Farms legislation. California's Prop 12 requires other states to comply with more stringent farming regulations to sell meat and eggs into that state.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farm Bureau offers such diverse and creative ideas for the agriculture industry, and being a dairy farmer, I feel like I fit in and can grow personally and professionally. I was actually just recently nominated and selected as a finalist for the 35 Under 35 program, and to be recognized as a young female in agriculture is truly special.
WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
And the weather we're expecting in Wisconsin may be beautiful, but that doesn't mean that we have to start burning things. The Wisconsin DNR responded to 15 wildfires just over the weekend that burned nearly 30 acres. They've suspended annual burn permits in 25 counties where they've got protection responsibility. So far this year, the DNR has responded to over 50 fires burning 160 acres. The 10-year average is 3 wildfires burning 2. That's a look at food news for a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Mostly sunny this morning with clouds and a little light rain by late this afternoon. Our high today, 70 by early afternoon, with temps falling into the 50s by late this afternoon. The wind southwest at around 15 to 20. Tonight, some light rain and then some light snow, 23. Tomorrow, light snow early, then sunshine, high of 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Nothing but a slow glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind.
It's 7:35 at WRJN. It's our fourth historical marker in our series, the history of WRJN and Paul Kern, former morning personality here at WRJN. Paul, I want to get to WRJN, but how long were you at WLIP for? Because that's where you came to, Rob.
Oh, I was there like forever. I was there for a short period of time in 1979, and before I went to WOKY. And then I was there from 84 until I came to work for you guys, which would have been 2005. So it was a long period of time that I was there.
Okay, so you did come to WRJN. What year was that?
2005.
All right, 2005, you came to WRJN Radio, and you were our morning personality for, you said, 6 years?
Yeah, yeah.
I should know, because I was the program director, but I should remember these things.
You guys hired me because you wanted a little bit more of a conservative voice on the air, and I think the first couple of weeks, the audience didn't quite know how to take me because I came there in the summer of 2005, and it was just a couple of weeks later that Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans. And I remember all the pictures of it. Water was up to the rooftops and everything like that. And, oh, it was so horrible, da-da-da-da-da. And here I am on the air saying, I don't know if it was so horrible. If I was incinerator, I'd be licking my chops at this point because all these places have to be rebuilt and they're all going to need garbage disposals. And I don't think they quite knew how to take me quite at that point because of the way I looked at things such as that.
Give us some of the highlights when you were here at WRJN.
Well, of course, the big thing that I'll always remember was the snowstorm, the 2-foot snowstorm that came on Groundhog Day of 2011. And I think the Sunday before we had had the bridal fair that we used to do. I don't know if you guys still do that or not.
No, that's long gone.
Okay. But we did the bridal fair, and I was sitting there talking with Pete Ferrand, and he said, hey, did you hear about the big storm? I says, no, what? He says, later this week, big storm coming. I says, how many inches? He says, inches? They're talking feet. And it started getting closer, and all they were talking about on the news was this snowstorm that could dump as much as 2 feet on the Racine-Kenosha area. So if I'd have been smart, and I've never been known as being the sharpest knife in the drawer, I would have, as soon as it started snowing that night, come into the radio station with a sleeping bag and just sacked out on the couch or the floor or whatever it would happen to be. But no, I says, there'll be plows out and everything. And so I waited, and I just couldn't fall asleep that night. And I think around midnight, I said, I'm going to go into the station, I told my wife. I says, it might be kind of slow traveling. I had no idea. There were no plows out that night, and it took me from like midnight, and I got to the station at 6:30 in the morning, and it was normally a 20-minute drive. That's how bad it was that night. In fact, I got to the corner of 16th, and I forget the name of the street that runs on the west end of the radio station campus there.
Ohio.
No. No, there's a side street.
Lathrop?
There's a side before that.
Okay, Lathrop,
on the west side.
Huh. I'm trying to think. It's 16th and Lathrop.
I couldn't find a way into the station, because you're in the middle of a block there. And I got myself on 16th, and I got myself facing down this side street, and I just floored it. And I had a four-wheel drive, and it just went all the way through all that up into the parking lot, and that's where it got stuck, and that's where I left it in this building and finished the program as best I could at that point. It was quite a storm, and that's the. In fact, it was almost after that point that I says, the next time there's one of these, I want to watch it from my front window. And that's when I kind of decided I was going to see when I could be able to retire. Because I was already 60 years old at that point.
You know, I really remember that day. It was Groundhog Day, February 2nd, 2011.
Yeah.
Because I lived 10 minutes from the radio station, and I left about 4 a.m. from the house. I was shoveling and plowing just to get out of my driveway.
Yeah.
And so I got out, and I was following a police car over the bridge to, Main Street Bridge. And all of a sudden, the police car vanished. I couldn't see it anymore in the blizzard. And I was so petrified, I was going to go off the edge of the bridge. I couldn't see it. And I'm going down Highway 20. I took the biggest street I can find, Highway 20, and I couldn't see. I was petrified. You couldn't see if cars were parked there. Couldn't see anything. And I finally got down to Ohio Street, and I couldn't turn onto Victory. It was way too deep. I couldn't even turn the car around. And I said, I'm going to park in the parking lot at Kmart over there, or whatever it was. Shopko. I'm going to park over there. And their lots wasn't plowed yet. So I called the gas station on the corner of Ohio and Highway 20, Super America, whatever it is over there. I forget what it's called. And they would not let me park there. So I went over to Walgreens, and I parked in the lot, and I went to the manager, and I kind of pleaded. I said, listen, I work at the radio station. I can't get down the streets. Can I park my car here? He said, yeah, just move it over to this spot over here, and you can leave your car there all day. Don't worry about it. So my wife gave me a satchel full of food and clothing. I don't know how long she thought I was going to be here. I'm grateful for the clothing because I had to walk 0.9 miles in a blizzard, and the snow in some parts was up to my knees.
Well, yeah, it was even deeper than that. When I got there, it was up to my up on my thighs. You know, I mean, you're trying to plow through that, and you know, that's not easy.
Well, anyway, so I get to the radio station, and Tom Carco meets me at the door, and he said, get in here quick. He got me a thing of water to drink, and I was exhausted. Now, little did I know on that day that my heart was failing, because 2 months later, I had open heart surgery.
Yeah.
And when I talked to the surgeon, he said, it is just beyond him how I didn't pass out and die of a heart attack in that blizzard. Because I got knocked down on Ohio Street once, but I didn't know about it. And what you don't know can hurt you, but it didn't in my case. So April of that year, right after the blizzard, 2 months later, I had open heart surgery. Almost 2 months to the day. So you got in there, and I remember your car was just in the middle of the lot. I do remember that. And I was walking to the station. I said, well, he made it in. I got there at 6:30. It took me 2.5 hours to get in on that morning.
It took me 6.5, for a 20-minute drive.
But, you know, radio people do that. If it was any other business, you would have called in and said, I can't make it. Radio people did.
Well, who else was going to do it, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just radio people do that sort of stuff.
That's what I say. If I'd have been smart, I would have come in, you know, even before the snow started and just sacked out at the radio station.
Well, I learned a valuable lesson that day, and I'm going to do the same thing you did if I ever hear snow's coming, because I'm not going to deal with that ever again.
No.
Where I've got to go through those streets like that. And again, it takes me 10 minutes to get here in the morning now. Same house, same route, same everything, except never again will I do that. Talk about some of the interesting people you've talked to. You've had a lot of guests on the air over the years. Any interesting people you can remember?
Well, I had become good friends with Reince Priebus, who headed up the Republican National Committee, also was the first... heads up the basically the White House. That's chief of staff.
Yeah, chief of staff, Reince Priebus. Yeah, under Trump.
There were a lot of different people as far as music was concerned. One of the interesting people that I met was Howard Cosell. If you remember him, he was a sportscaster for ABC, and when I was at WRIT, we were the ABC affiliate. And so when the Packers were going to play somebody on Monday Night Football in Milwaukee, Cosell would come in the Sunday afternoon before, would come to the radio station and record his Speaking of Sports programs. Now, these were three-minute radio programs. He would do one for the morning, one for the afternoon on Monday, and then one for the local program in New York.
And what I, you know, this is what amazed me. I mean, back in those days, I had a script for everything I was going to do and write it and read it over before I, he sat down and I got to sit in the engineer's booth with the guy who engineered the whole thing. And he just started talking, and he had no notes, he had no nothing, and he just boom, 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 banged out three-minute programs just like that. And I was impressed, you know, and then I got to ride in the car when we took him back to his hotel. And he was talking about the fact that, well, I found out years later that he had a photographic memory, which helped a whole lot as far as this stuff was concerned. But we went past the stadium, and this was early Sunday evening, and he's, you know, ABC had all the lights on, they're setting up their camera angles and all this kind of stuff, and he says, he called them amateurs, and said, I don't need to rehearse like that, and he started going through the Packers and the Detroit Lions rosters, player by player, their number, where they went to college. Yeah, I was just impressed with the guy. He was really something else. Some of the other people that I met, and I was the only one who would have it. He told me I was the only one who would have him on the air each year on the anniversary of Buddy Holly's plane crash. And that was Bobby V. Bobby V was 16 years old and had a garage band in Minnesota. And the night after the plane crash, the show went on, and they were looking for people to fill in for Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and Richie Valens. And they said, what about this guy, Bobby Villain, over on the whatever side of town? They went over, talked to him, and he filled in. That was really where he got his start. And he had quite a few hit records over the years. And I would call him every year on the anniversary of the plane crash. And we do a little interview and everything. And he talked about how people were crying in the audience. And he said it was a very tough show to do. And it was really his first professional show. So many people over the years that you got a chance to meet who either just came into the station or you got to interview. Another one that I had a lot of fun with on the air was Buddy Rich, the jazz drummer. Boy, I tell you, just so many over the years that you had the opportunity to talk to. I think one of the interviews that I did there at RJN was with one of the lead singers of the guys who did the song Louie Louie, the Kingsmen.
Right, yeah.
And, of course, naturally, I had to ask them the question, what do they actually say in that song? Because over the years, there have been so many people have said they said this or that, and it was filthy and it was dirty, and that's why you couldn't understand it. And he said, we'd never tell.
You know, let me tell you something funny about that song. My brother had a band. He played with some of the biggest groups of the 1960s. And when that song came out, he wrote to the record company, and they sent him a mimeographed copy of the lyrics to that song.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned the plane crash with Buddy Holly, the day the music died. My wife and I went out to Clear Lake, Iowa. We went to the Surf Ballroom, and then we heard two people talking, and they said, yes, if you go to 115th and Gull, the street intersection, it's a farmer's field. Go out there, walk about a quarter of a mile, and you'll be at the site. And I went out there, and they have some stainless steel records out on that site and the whole memorial set up. But you're in the middle of this farmer's muddy field, and that is the exact site of the plane crash. And to stand on that site knowing this is where music history changed forever, it's really sobering to be out there.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the I used to go to a lot of these different oldies conventions, you know, where they'd come in with pictures and memorabilia and all that kind of stuff. One of the most horrible things I ever saw, there was a guy who actually had the coroner's picture of the plane crashed, you know, and in pieces, and the three of them laying there in the field. I can't even look at that, man. That's horrible.
Well, when I was at the Surf Ballroom, you can buy a copy of the newspaper, and they show that picture on the cover of the newspaper with the bodies laying there in the field.
Yeah, I thought that was just really gross.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Paul Kern is here. It's WRJN Historical Marker number 4. We're doing the history of WRJN and the people who worked here. And Paul Kern, a very important part, did mornings here for a number of years at WRJN Radio. So we'll continue with Paul in just a moment here. WRJN Hometown Radio, refreshed, a civic media station. It's 749.
to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Up on the roof.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space.
The Drifters, with lead singer Ben E. King, went on to have a bunch of hits on his own, Stand By Me, Spanish Harlem. And my brother used to play with Benny King, played in his band, and they were at something up in South Fallsburg, New York, and I went with my brother. I was a little kid at the time, and Benny King wanted to play some basketball before the show started, and he pointed to me and said, "Here, you're with me." And I played basketball with Benny King. What a great memory, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, one of the funny things about radio is where people go from radio onto something else. And the guy who hired me at WRKR was named Jim Cahill. And he was a big fan. This was in the middle 70s, and the time when Alice Cooper was a big name in the entertainment industry. And he was a big fan of Alice Cooper. In fact, he got Alice's permission to put together an Alice Cooper special. And he worked on it for like about 3 months. And it went nationwide. It played all over the country. And Alice liked it so much that he hired Jim Cahill to come to work for him. Now, here's what his job was, all right? Alice Cooper liked to fly into town the day before his concert and put on the TV and watch his plane on the news flying into town. So Jim Cahill's job was to go into town the day before that and make sure the news media was all out at the airport to catch the film of his of Alice Cooper's plane flying into town. And I says, "What kind of a job is that?" And he says, it's a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of people. He said, speaking of basketball, that he got to play basketball with Alice and Harry Nilsson. And, you know, his comment was, "Yeah, those English guys can't play basketball at all. They're just no good."
Hey, Paul. It's
amazing the jobs that people get, you know.
Did people want you to go into politics?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a time when they wanted me to run for state representative. In fact, even recently, our pastor of the church was interested in having me run for mayor. And I says, "No," I says, "I don't need the headaches, you know."
But you know what, though? You've got such a great personality. You could have pulled it off.
Yeah, but no, it's just I kind of don't have the same interest that I did when I was on the air. It was very interesting to me. It was very interesting to have the newsmakers on the air with me. And like I said, I just don't have the interest in that. Well, I've gone in a whole different direction now. I do a lot of stuff for our church and Knights of Columbus, and I enjoy that. I get a lot of satisfaction out of that.
I remember I was at a fundraiser thing once, and you were sitting at a table. I remember Reince Priebus was there and a bunch of other politicos. And I said, this guy, he fits in naturally with all these people. And I just, I wondered why you didn't go into politics at all. You would have been very good at it.
Well, perhaps. But like I say, it's just, again, at this point in time, it's just something that doesn't interest me that much.
Okay, so when you left WRJN, you retired from radio and everything, right?
Yes, from everything.
Why didn't you, why'd you retire? Why'd you give up on radio?
Well, I, after 42 years, it was just time. I just felt like it was just time, to move along and see what was going to happen as far as I was concerned. I wasn't going to tell this story, but I think I will. Was back in the going over Christmas of 2009 going on to 2010, I was found to have cancer, and a little duct that goes between the gallbladder and liver. And I found out later that you never get any symptoms of this until it's so far gone that you're not going to make it. And they found it in me very early. I had the surgery done, and everything turned out fine. I'm still doing fine to this day. I had 5 weeks, because you may remember this. You guys had me off the air for 5 weeks because they told me I was going to be so weak that you wouldn't believe it. And I certainly was. I mean, it was an effort to roll over under the covers in bed, you know. And so 5 weeks I had time to sit there and think, and I just... said there's got to be a reason why God wanted me to survive this when nobody else does. And so when I retired, I just, looked around for what was going to be the next phase for my life, and getting involved with our church. And as I said before, the things that I'm doing now was what I found. I think where God wanted me to use my talents as far as that stuff was concerned. And I hope I'm in, I hope I'm right as far as that's concerned.
I think you're right. You can't go wrong doing what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing God's work, and that's the best anybody can do in life. Where do you live now? You live in Kenosha?
Yeah. We had moved. We had left Kenosha for 4 years when our son-in-law got a good job down in Bloomington, Indiana. That's southwest. That's maybe 45 minutes from the Kentucky border. The kids moved down there, and the grandkids. And about the time they bought a house, my wife said, all right, it's time for us to move. So we sold our house, moved down there for 4 years. And right about the time, when COVID hit, it's tough to meet people in a new town to begin with, especially when you're retired and not working. And again, like I say, tough to meet people at that point. And we were sitting out in the yard one day, about the time that they had the riots in Kenosha. I said to my wife, what do you think about moving back? And she said, I could see that. So we decided to move back beginning of 2021, and so we're back in Kenosha again, and very happy.
Sounds like the Beverly Hillbillies. We loaded up the truck and we moved back to Kenosha. Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars. Hey, Paul, I got to thank you very much. You sound great. Your personality, your personality is still there. Your voice is still there. Everything about you is still there from the day you left here. Nothing's changed. And I do appreciate you spending an hour with me as our fourth historical marker this morning.
All right. Well, I hope the listeners enjoyed it. And say hi to everybody, that we came in contact with when I was there. And have yourself a wonderful day.
Hold on a second. Don't leave yet. Just stay right where you are there, Paul. Paul Kern, historical marker number 4 at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen, and I'll catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., dark and early. The sun's still not up yet. Tomorrow, today we got a high of, it's going to be like a drop of 40-some-odd degrees by tomorrow morning. So we'll make it, right? It's 7:59 at WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. Stay where you are.
AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I'm joined by comedy writer Andrew Genzer and Journal Sentinel Entertainment writer Chris Foran. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab from 7 to 9 p.m.
Bucks and Packer fans, listen up. Your smiles are in for a winning treatment at Dr. Stephen W. Campbell's office at 3801 Monarch Drive in Racine. Just like your favorite teams dominate the field, Dr. Campbell excels in dental care, and your winning grin is his top priority. Whether you're cheering for the Bucks or celebrating a Packers victory, make sure your smile is game day ready. Call Dr. Stephen W. Campbell at 262-432-9529, where your winning smile is always in season.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.